I want to exhort you a minute. I want to share some things with you. If you'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The way the kingdom of God works, Luke chapter 2 says the kingdom of God is within you. Ephesians says there's one God and Father of all who's above all and in you all. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 that my Father and I will come make our abode in you. John chapter 15 and 16 says the Holy Spirit has come to dwell and abide with you and in you forever. Ephesians says the word of God dwells in you richly. John chapter 4 and John chapter 7 says the water that I will give you will be in you a fountain of water springing up for all eternity. If any man thirst, let him come unto me where he dwelleth here. If he says, come unto me, for out of your innermost being will flow the water. So if he says, come to you, if the water's flowing, the water's flowing where he is, all right? The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So he tells you where he is, out of your innermost being will flow the water. So he dwells there. That place is a different jurisdiction than the one you're accustomed to. You're accustomed to this one, to touch, taste, seeing, hearing. You touch this dimension with your natural senses. So your natural senses are very accustomed. You cannot touch the kingdom of God with your natural senses. You don't move to the kingdom of God like that. And you can't move it through natural sight. You don't move and you don't touch it with your mind. You don't enter into the kingdom of God through mental ascension. You'll get in trouble. But there is a way to move because Jesus said, enter into my rest. He that labored, enter into my rest. He says, in me there is peace. Romans chapter 5 says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Colossians chapter 3 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not upon the earth, for you are dead to the world. Did you know you're dead? Your old man's dead. But your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul said in Philippians that I want to be found in him. Found in him. That's what we're trying to do here is relocate you. We want to move you to the dimension of the kingdom of God. Now, that is an art. That is not something that's acquired just waking up. Now, a lot of times you'll move into the kingdom corporately. You'll dip in or something, or you'll have a session with God. But what we want to teach you to do it consistently. Consistently means 8 out of 10 times you're able to enter through the veil. When Jesus said, in me there is peace, but in the world there's tribulation, those two different places there. It's not like your body's going to be snatched up. We're all going to be here. You have a sensation that you're here, but you're there more than you're here. And more importantly, the kind of level of warfare or the things that you're going through on a daily basis, the things that you're familiar with, the heaviness or the anxiety or whatever the enemy's trying to put upon you, when you move far enough into him, all that stuff gets cut off at the door because where he dwells is above this world system. It's in you, but it's not of you. You have a kingdom that's in you that's seated above the world system. It's above the atmospheres of the world system. It's above the enemy's ability to manipulate your mind, your emotions, and your will, and the pressures that he exerts against you. It's like when you're trying to pray and you feel all this stuff going on all the time. Well, there's a place you'll reach through that veil. Well, that stuff doesn't go through there. Because you're seated above him. Amen. And once you get in there, there's legitimate peace that passeth all understanding. There's rest, but there's a lot more than that. There's glory in there. There's a fountain that will erupt into worship in there. Greater worship you ever experienced in this jurisdiction. Very rarely have I ever had a corporate level of worship that's going on privately right now. It is phenomenal what's up in there. And I'm telling you all this because it's a journey into the fullness of Christ. So, one of the things I'm going to share with you, the way that you enter into these places is you enter through the Word of God. The Word's a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. It gives you the imagery that you need, because Jesus, the word's full of parables and imagery, but it gives you the imagery you need to move, because it gives light to an area that you can't see. If you have no revelation of this kingdom within, you're trying to enter some place you have no grid for. You just have it here. We have to have the illumination of God's word so he can properly construct the spiritual imagery to move to that place. I'm going to give you an example of this today in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When you get a revelation of this temple, you'll see this in here as a temple. It'll help you enter in. See, there's a doorway there. And see that this is a temple where God dwelleth. The reason why you don't experience God, because he's up in you, but he lives in a jurisdiction that's not of you. You got to get in there to experience him. Even though he lives there, you may not always experience him until you move into that place. Amen? You got to move in. He says, for you are the temple, 2 Corinthians 6:16, for you are the temple of the living God, not a dead God, not a religious God. He wants to dwell in you. He wasn't even content to live in the natural tabernacle. He wanted to be in you. That's how much he loves you. God said, I will dwell in them. I'll dwell in you. I will walk in them. I'll walk in you. He will. He does. You just got to get to where he is. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, notice this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate. Now, where is he dwelling? In you. So where is he speaking from? Where does he dwell? In you. So he dwells in you. So he says, wherefore he saith, speaking from the temple of God within you, because I will dwell in you, I'll walk in you. So wherefore he saith, come out from among them, be you separate. Now he's using the direct imagery of Exodus 33 when he says this. When Moses was called out of the camp to go into the tabernacle of God, he was called out to go in. Amen. You're called to go out to go in. Except the tabernacle of God's not over there, it's in here. But there's still a coming out. It's a coming out of yourself, a coming out of the world system, coming out of the jurisdiction of the earth, coming out of your mind, will, and emotions, things that dominate this realm, and moving into the realm of Christ, where there's great peace, there's great joy, there's great rest, there's great glory. Hallelujah. See, that gets your mind going. It's like, how do I come out of myself? Well, that's what you got to do. Amen. You got to move. He's describing a different jurisdiction. He lives in you, but you got to come out. Amen. I will walk in them. Be you separate. Separate yourself from the world. Touch not the unclean thing. You, tell you right now, cannot have habitual sin in this place very long. You have to allow God to move that out of your life. You can't have that and think you're going to move into a holy God. Now, the glorious thing about this is Jesus accepts you the way you are. You're accepted in him. Amen. But the more and more you enter in him, he expects he's going to start cleaning you up. Amen. He's going to clean you up. Hallelujah. And I will receive you. God says he'll receive you. He's going to receive you where? He's going to receive you here where he dwelleth. Why is it so important to know God dwells here? He dwells there too. He dwells here as well. Amen. If you're going to fellowship with God in this dimension, you got to know he's with you. You can't believe he's 1,000 miles away in a distant heaven. You got to know he's here, or you're not going to touch him. Your faith has got to get God here. Amen. Amen. That's a renewing of the mind. That part you do have to renew, and you have to have the revelation of God's word. That's why I'm saying you're moving these dimensions. You got to move by revelation. You got to move by what the word of God says. Hallelujah. He goes, I'll be a father unto you. My goodness, he'll be a father. Now, run over to Exodus 33 real fast. You got to have this stuff up in you. Right now, I'm entering in through the imagery of the temple of God. I see the temple of God here. It's been constructed by the revelation of God's word. And I'm going to show you something very powerful. Now, Moses comes out, Exodus 33, verse 8. It came to pass that Moses went out unto the tabernacle. Remember, he said, wherefore he saith, come out from among them. So he goes out. He goes out of the camp. You're coming out of the camp. The camp just happens to be yourself. Amen. You got to get out of yourself if you're going to get into God. Amen. He dwells in a different jurisdiction than you do. You got to get that. Praise the Lord. And he said, Moses went out of the tabernacle, verse 8. that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was, look at this, gone into the tabernacle. Notice Moses entered into the tabernacle. Amen. All this was foreshadowing what goes on the inside of you. Moses never prayed till he got inside. He either was up into the mountain of God or in the tabernacle of God before he started praying. That's what we're trying to do, is get you positioned with God to experience, to encounter, and to pray from a seated position within the temple of the living God. Amen? Unless you're getting answered prayer every single day of your life and you don't need any help, we got to learn this. Amen? The thing about our dispensation, we've got to move by faith into this place. Now, notice this, verse 9, and it came to pass, that's your trial, it comes and it passes. As Moses entered into the tabernacle, as Houston Revival Center entered into the tabernacle, everyone say, get me in there. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses there. Now notice, the cloudy pillar was the Lord himself coming down in a pillar of glory, and he stands at the door signifying that I am the way into this. I am the truth and I am the life. You cannot come in here but by me. He's signifying he is the doorway. Now that is directly represented over there in John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10. Now I'm going to get to what I was really wanting to tell you about the thief. Because every one of you are going to encounter resistance. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 9. Here it is. Exodus 33 right here. I am the door. He's the door to what? The doorway to the temple of God. He's the doorway to the tabernacle of God. If by me any man enter in, he'd be saved. If you're not saved, you probably don't need to be in this particular prayer meeting. We've got to get you saved. Amen. So we're here. Okay. He didn't stop there. He put an and there. You see the and? How many read and? And shall go in and out and find a pasture. Going in and out of where? Going in and out of what? This is deep calleth the deep at the noise of the water spout. When you have a door, you open it, you go in, you come back out. That's what doors do. You go in and out. The doorway is the in and out of where you're going. Right there, he's speaking. He is the tabernacle door. I am the entrance to the kingdom of God. If you come, you're coming into me. You got to go through me. Today, we're going to do this. I'm going to spend a lot of time during prayer today at the doorway to show you how to honor Christ. He's both the doorway and your shepherd, because it doesn't stop once you get through the door. That's where his leadership begins. How do I know when I'm through the door? You will not have to ask that question. You will know. You have shifted jurisdictions. You will know, because the level of peace and glory, it won't be of the normal world you live in. Amen. There'll be a jurisdictional shift, and you will feel tangibly that you're in an atmosphere that's being produced by God. It's an atmosphere that's not of this world. You're going to know. In me, there's peace. In the world, there's tribulation. He couldn't get any more clear than that. It's an atmospheric shift. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about right now for the next couple of minutes. Then we got to start. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the way we've reduced that verse down to is I've come that you might have a lifestyle and have it more abundantly. Amen? And the thief's coming to steal my lifestyle. Now, he does steal in this jurisdiction. How many of you have been stolen from here? Raise your hand. Everybody gets stolen from. But that's really not what he was talking about, this particular thief, because he was talking about the pasture and the abundant life that he came to provide you, an inheritance that's not of this world, that's in him, that's in the Father. There's an inheritance. The Bible says we are partakers of the heavenly calling. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. But the thief stands at the door of the tabernacle to stop you from going in. So how many of you have tried, because I'm hearing this across the board, when you're trying to go into the glory of God and you get stopped out at the door and you think something's wrong with you, raise your hand. I got news. There is nothing wrong with you. Somebody else is more highly favored, but I'm not. Because you get to the door and it's like it doesn't open for the first time you go in there. It didn't open for you. I'm like, what happened? There are thieves that stand at that door. Been standing and guarding those doors for 2,000 years. They come to steal, kill, and destroy your ability to partake of a heavenly calling. Because when we start partaking of a glory and a life that's not of this world, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time that life will start flowing here and changing things in this dimension. And the devil knows that really well. He would much rather keep you on this side of the door, because if he keeps you on this side of the door, you're going to be very limited in your walk with God, because all your inheritance, the pasture you need, the abundant life you need, the love, joy, peace, glory, righteousness, inheritance, all of it's in there. So Paul said, I want to be found in him. I've already had the religion of my own. I want to be found in him. Amen. Those thieves are not here to just steal from you in the natural. God can replenish the natural very quickly from that heavenly realm. They stand at the door of that place. That's why you think it's so difficult to get in, because they want to make you think it's difficult to get in. They want to make you feel you'll never get in at times. They'll also try to make you feel you're unworthy and something wrong with you and God just don't like you today. Because that's their job, to keep you out of that place. And they are good at it. They're very good at it. Until you get their number. So how do you press through? It's the real question. How do I get through when I encounter that resistance? Because everybody in here is going to encounter it. The greatest day of your life is when you do break through. The greatest day of your life is when your faith passes the line and you make it in, because you're going to get a heavenly and holy confidence that, hey, oh my goodness, there have been days that, I mean, that thief just stands there just shouting and screaming all kinds of stuff. And I just ignore it. I've learned to ignore it because I'm not entering in through my mind anyway. What I'm do though, I'm going to give you a major key here and then we're going to pray. Amen. What I do is I never disengage from this realm here. The communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. Amen. If your faith is going to be effective, you're going to have to acknowledge what's going on here. Every good thing that's in you, there are some very good things in you, contrary to what the enemy might tell you. But they're in Christ. They're in the realm of in Christ. They're in the realm of in Him. Amen. They're in the realm of in Him, in Christ. And you got to get in that place. And you get in there by faith. So every one of you, your faith will grow if you'll exercise it. If you don't exercise it, that door will get clouded over. In a heartbeat, it'll get crowded over. You stay away from long enough, you won't even remember it's there. You just go out about your business out here. But that door is the doorway to your future. That's good stuff. It's the doorway to all you want, all that you ever dream of, all that your heart's desire. He knows how to fill you and fill you up again and again and again. I had a fountain release last week, and he started erupting. And it erupted all day long. And just worshiped God all day long. And it lasted for about 3 days. I thought it's like, and the Lord said, this is a foretaste of what's coming. That fountain, let me tell you something right now, can transform you in a matter of a week, what you could not get in your regular routine with God in 5 years. That fountain is so powerful in its ability to transform. And the Lord said, it's there, and I'm going to unlock it in my people in the last days. That fountain, because it'll be in you a wellspring springing up with eternal life. It'll spring up with glory and joy. It'll spring up with peace unimaginable. And the life that it springs up with will transform you from glory to glory. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. So let me say this before we start. Now, when you're doing this, the master key of all keys, if you're taking notes, write master key. If you're taking notes in your head, write master key. There's two master keys. First, you have to have a revelation of what's going on here. But the master key is the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. This is the way you move. Now, I say this a lot. This is very, very important. if you're going to make it in. If you're going to make it in, you're going to have to learn focus. When I acknowledge Anna, I'll acknowledge her, I have to look at her. Amen. I don't acknowledge Anna like this. Hey, Anna, how are you? You ever talk to somebody that had their back turned to you? It's disrespect. Because if my back's turned to you, that means I'm somewhere else. I can't be acknowledging you when I'm somewhere else. Now, I don't say, hey, sweetie, I really want to be with you. What was that score of that football game yesterday? I love you, darling. Just want to let you know. Yeah, man, you made some great passes yesterday. In your mind, you know. You see that? Now, a woman can detect in a heartbeat if you're connected or if you're just giving lip service. You can be speaking and you're not connected. The thing with God is you have to be connected. This is where you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to get an arsenal of in him scripture. You're going to have to get an arsenal of scripture you enter in by. You'll hear me saying these words. These things have to be in you if you want to do this consistently. But I'm telling you, you will experience some of the greatest measure of God you've ever experienced in your life when you become effective. So what happens is this. When I acknowledge, you're going to have to teach yourself. Say teach. You're going to have to teach yourself the discipline of focus. If your mind, this is where you're going to need your mind, because it's got to come, everything about you has to be centered here. Do you understand? When I acknowledge, I have to acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ. I'm acknowledging the Holy Spirit. I'm acknowledging Christ that dwelleth in my heart. I'm acknowledging the Father that dwelleth in me. I'm acknowledging the Word, the living Word that dwelleth in my heart. I'm acknowledging the kingdom of God that's within. I'm acknowledging the fountain of God that's within. You see all that stuff's in there? It's amazing how we don't experience very much of it when it's all there. Amen. It's the acknowledging. You have to keep your focus here and your words keep flowing. Your words keep flowing here. God told Moses, speak unto the rock. The rock was Christ and it'll give its water. Now here's what's going to happen when you're acknowledging. You're going to get before the wall and those thieves are going to show up. They show up in the form of atmosphere. They show up in the form of agitation. They show up in the form of anxiety. They show up in the form of unrest. They show up in the form of massive thoughts being implemented into your lives. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You got to do that. Get up and get that trash out right now. You forgot to vacuum the floor. All this stuff's running through you. You didn't get your toes done. You got to get your fingernails done. You got to get your toes down. That's for the ladies. That's not for the men, of course. You got to get your hair cut. Got to get the laundry washed. You know, you got all this stuff. All this stuff's going through you. Those are thieves. Those are thieves. And if you take that thought, if you move that way, guess what? You're never going to enter in. So the reason why it takes time to get through these doorways is you've got to stay in the Word. You got to stay focused. And that's going to take training. Nobody's going to do anything great in their life unless they give time to it. Somebody said, well, why does he make it so hard? He's not making it hard. Anything you do in life requires experience and training. That's what we're here to do, is show you the tools, but you got to practice this. If you're a person that doesn't have a discipline of mind and your mind's wandering, I would suggest you practice in 5-minute increments. Don't even try to get in. Just practice your focusing, because if you can't get yourself focused here and you're trying to acknowledge Christ here and you're giving him lip service and your mind's out there serving yesterday's problems or tomorrow's worries and you got all this stuff going on, you are disjointed, dislocated, and out of alignment. You cannot move into that place. You'll stay in the world where there's tribulation. You'll stay in this jurisdiction. So when you're up against the wall, when I'm up against the wall, because I encounter the wall all the time, it's not like I sit down and go in. These days taking me longer than ever. I have no idea why, but it doesn't matter to me because I'm focused on one thing. I don't care what I'm feeling. I don't care what the enemy's doing out here. I'm here and I stay here. And if I find myself drifting, you'll do that. Pull yourself back in there. Pull yourself. And that's why you got to keep speaking. What I mean by speaking, I'm not speaking this any word. You're speaking the word of entrance, the scriptures of the tabernacle, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and the living way, consecrated by the veil of his flesh. Let us draw near. See, you draw near. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. So you got to go to him. You got to get where he is. And if you learn to do that, you're going to be a great man or woman of God. I am telling you, there's greatness in Christ. There's greatness in Christ. I'm telling you, you follow a man or a woman, you're only going to get the small portion of what God has for you. But if you will enter into Him, you'll get a full portion in this life. And you'll have a great reward when you get in heaven, because He has a fullness in there that man simply cannot give you. So if you find yourself wondering, pull yourself back. You're not going to learn that discipline. You learn over time. But if you're hungry enough, if you'll practice this, I'm telling you, you get really good at it. Amen.
Going to be real brief, but I saw Pat Robertson last night, something that gave a visual to what he was saying about opening the portals of heaven. And this man that had a heart attack was dying, and he started praying, God, save me. God, I want to come back to my family. My family needs me. So he lifted up this prayer, and then he had left his body up into the light. He felt this love, and he was in this whirlwind, and it was an open portal, and he could read what was in that whirlwind with the words of his prayer, and they showed a visual of the words that he had prayed, and they were wrapped around him, and because of those words that he had prayed, he was allowed to come back. It was the open portal for him to, for that answer prayer. So the words that he's using, words that he's praying, thinking, saying, they actually create a portal, a heavenly portal.